Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 599. We're very close to episode 600. This is your host, Danny, a.k.a. Godfrey, and also we have in the house co-host Pete.
Yo,
what up?
What's up, dude?
Good, man. No Paris this week.
Yep. Yeah, he's mourning the loss of his Seminoles. He got wrecked by, admittedly, the number 11 team in the nation at the time. Good team. It was a struggle. But
sorry about that, Paris.
Yep.
Send him his hugs.
Yeah, he's gonna need plenty of hugs. So GTR community, please reach out and pay your respects and condolences to the FSU. they took the L.
Thursday we're gonna be hitting our 600th episode. I've been working on some stuff behind the scenes, but I don't know if it's gonna happen for episode 600. Mm-hmm. But we're still gonna release an episode no matter what.
Oh no, we have to release an episode. It's just it may not be as grandstanding as we had originally hoped. So it might be a low key 600.
Yeah, a very low key 600. It's all good though. But it's a big accomplishment, man.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Getting to 600 is pretty tough. I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, man, almost hitting 12 years, so many episodes. Man, yeah, that's crazy.
Somebody mentioned that in a response to the Twitter, to the GTR Twitter account. It was like, not that many people realize the difficulty and the consistency it requires to reach 600 episodes and to just and I know we've talked about this in the past, but and I don't want to drone on it for too long, but yeah, I mean, maybe now more recently it helps because we're doing two episodes a week, but previously, before we hit 550, I think is when we started, more or less having to do that once a week. You think about that, just the patience, the time required to set aside time to research and record and edit the show, the whole nine. It takes a lot of personal time that could be devoted to, with the wife or with your partner or playing video games or with the family, what have you. So it's a big accomplishment, and big ups to Danny and everybody else who's participated. Not just now, but in the past. So going back to like Feels Good and Mandy and everybody else in between. So
definitely, man. So yeah. So listeners, send us your email and voicemails, and we'll play it on episode 600 coming out this Thursday.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Pete. So the other day, I know the, what was it, like sometime last week, we were having a conversation with Paris about deals, like in different locations, different websites. And one of the deals he mentioned about Xbox One S. So tell me that at Walmart, they had I think it was a Xbox One S 500 gigabyte version. Comes with Halo 5, Halo Collection. I believe you could also get the Elite Controller for a very cheap price. Everything was for $390-ish. I already have an Elite Controller, so I just added an exclusive Walmart controller. I bought that for a very cheap price. So I gave my older Xbox to my nephew because he was still playing the older Xbox 360. He only had that. So it was cool giving him a brand new, my older Xbox One to him. And he's having a blast right now, So I already connected my Xbox One S a couple of days ago. And it's pretty good, man. Very quiet. It's a very quiet system compared to the other one, man.
Word. So yeah. Tell me about it. What are the fundamental differences that you notice out the box, right? Mm-hmm. from having the original first gen day one console, right, for you.
Mm-hmm.
What are the fundamental differences that you've seen other than, you know, the obvious, the size and everything? You know, just talk about it.
It seems a lot faster, like the dashboard wise, when it's when you turn it on, it's a lot faster and everything. I mean, it's not a crazy huge difference, but it's a lot faster than the older console, a lot faster. Besides the whole size, everything. And what I like too is the controller, there's Bluetooth. What I've been doing too is I've been testing that out with my Mac computer and also with my Android device, because I have a couple games that I play, and this is great. It's smooth, man. I mean, I use a lot more the Elite controller than the white version. Mm-hmm. The only thing is I'm kind of afraid that after a while, that controller could easily get dirty because it's white. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the only thing I'm a little bit worried about. But overall, I really like the system, man. It was smooth for me to transfer everything from my older console to my hard drive. And I connected that directly to my Xbox One S, and it plays everything, man. It's a lot better. The thing is, I don't have a 4K TV, so I can't really tell you the huge difference between the HD TV, 4K TVs. Mm-hmm. I can't really tell. You know, I just bought this because it's a lot smaller, and it was easy for me to have it like somewhere, you know, at the living room with my other consoles. I mean, right now, for those that are kind of curious about the whole Xbox One S, I know there's going to be another couple of different versions coming out for, I think, the Battlefield 1 versions. I think there's like three different bundles. I'm not sure. Is it three or two?
I know Battlefield 1 is a 1 terabyte bundle that'll be released on the 18th of October. And then there's a 500 gig Battlefield 1 Xbox One S coming out on the 21st of October.
Yeah, I like the colors. The color looks pretty dope for that version. And they announced that right after I purchased my console and stuff. So, yeah, but I'm definitely buying the Scorpio next year for sure.
So it's a black console.
Is it gray? It looks gray.
It's like, I don't know, maybe it's like that army gray olive color.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, it's pretty dope. I still think the white pops out a little bit more. But yeah, I agree with you. The Cheeto fingers will probably not be too impressive. Although that Xbox One controller, it's wired, so you might get less input lag. The handles, like the wings on the bottom, they're actually wrapped. So I don't know. That might just prevent some of that, you know, some of that white color being, you know, discolored from if you're chomping on food a lot, Mandy.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of deals, man. So take advantage of that, man. You know, I don't care which console, just buy the one that you think you're going to be playing the most, from now on and stuff. So there's going to be a lot of games coming out during the holiday season and next year. So, but Thursday, I'm going to be reviewing Forza Horizon 3. I can't wait to talk about this. I've been playing now for a couple of days, so stay tuned for that. Also, shout out to all the listeners that have been hitting me up saying for me to try out the new Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 that came out. Wow! That game is so addicting. It is so much fun. And it's only $12.99. You can buy it for cheap.
Nice.
And I believe it's available also for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. I'm not sure if it's out for PC too. Not sure, but wow, it's so much fun, man. Just try it out. There's even bosses and stuff in there, man. So if you were a fan of the last Championship Edition game, try this one out. There is no co-op edition, like a local co-op. That's the thing I like the most, but it's still fun.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Pete, we're going to play this voicemail from all the way to the UK so we can start our conversation about the whole price thing that we've been having for a couple of weeks now.
Let's play it
right now.
Hi guys, it's Dave from the UK here. First up, congratulations on the impending 600th episode. Massive milestone for the podcast, so congratulations for that. I just wanted to jump in on the Scorpio discussion around the cost and the price that you guys had last episode or the episode before. And I mean, the figures that were used, as obviously I understand those were theoretical example numbers that were used, and I think, Paris, you were saying, you know, roughly 800 million loss if they want to hit, let's say the box is $500 to make, they sell it at 400, they make 800, you know, it was a theoretical number, which I get, you know, which is not the issue, not my point. What my point was, though, is that 800 million is a lot of money, and it, you know, it sounds a lot of money, it is a lot of money, but it isn't a lot of money, I don't think, to Microsoft. And I mean, if you think back to the Red Rings of Death scenario, Microsoft wrote a check for, I think it was over $1 billion to sort that, or $1 billion to sort that whole mess out. So, you know, it's not like, you know, Microsoft have very deep pockets, I guess, is the point. I think, you know, so other people have you know, commented on the old war chest, as they've called it. But I think Microsoft recognise that they're going to have a box that's closely priced to the PS4 Pro. And I think at that point, you know, this time next year, the PS4 Pro could be down to 350. So I think, you know, Microsoft, I would have to imagine Microsoft are going to be aiming to get the box out at $400. What, you know, I just can't see, if it's $500, I think, you know, the kind of hardcore or current Xbox users would still go for it. You know, I certainly would. I live in the UK, so I'd have to pay even more, but, you know, that's just how it goes. But yeah, I think Microsoft will recognise they're going to have to get it as close to the PS4 Pro price at that point as they can. So, and I think even though there's you know, there's an element of them having to swallow some cost, I think Microsoft will also do that because they know that long term, that the benefits and well, rather the revenue that they can generate from having greater numbers on their platform in their ecosystem, you know, would far outweigh that initial kind of hit that they would have to take on getting the units made at loss. You know, if you think about, you know, people buying games, buying Xbox Live subscriptions, buying controllers, headsets, and all those different things, like, you know, that all generates revenue, and, you know, the more people you have buying those things, obviously the greater revenue you're going to generate. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, and maybe I'm with Danny and we're both dreaming, but I wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft come out with the Scorpio at $400. That's just my views, open to debate, of course, and I'm sure the debate will rage on for as long as we don't have any other concrete details on what the Scorpio is or what it's going to cost and all those kind of things, but it's all good. So yeah, that was it, guys. That's all I wanted to say. Thanks for the podcast. You know, as I've said many times before, really enjoy the podcast, appreciate the work you guys put in. That's it. Thanks very much, guys. Cheers. Bye.
All right, Pete, what is it you wanted to say about that voicemail? First of all, David, thanks for always sending us voice messages and everything, man. Shout out to you, man.
Yeah, so, go for it. Absolutely. So, first of all, I want to clarify this. We're talking gross margin here. Doesn't always translate to profit in the hands of the manufacturer. And I think we can all agree, more or less, it's about $35 to $75 considered quote unquote profit per console after the physical hardware cost. But I don't think we've ever really considered the additional dollars involved. So we're talking development, R&D, which we never see, but is probably the biggest dollar amount eater right off the bat. Packaging, marketing, distribution costs. I wouldn't really be surprised if the console's probably taking a loss by the time it hits the shelves. And if this is the case, again, you know, it's going to be Xbox Live and accessories that keep the profit part of the whole component going, not to mention sales or game sales, et cetera, software parts. And companies like Microsoft don't usually flaunt that type of information to the public or on its earnings report. And I don't know if that's maybe something per unit. I don't think Microsoft has ever really discussed per unit what it does. And they've kind of like Vulcan mind melded Xbox One S and Xbox 360. So they don't really delineate which one is performing better. They just say, you know, we're selling these. Mm-hmm. And you have to take into consideration, it's not what the console or what the unit makes. It's what the Xbox division as a whole makes. And that's all that really truly matters in this discussion of whether it's a profit or a loss. So when I say I think Microsoft is going to sell Scorpio at $400, whether it's for zero gain or just to tip the scales back into Microsoft's favor, I think they will. So again, David, thanks for writing in. And I want to delve a little bit more into the Xbox Scorpio discussion. More I think about it, I think Sony set the precedent for not putting the 4K drive in the PS4 Pro, and I wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft does the same. And this is why. So do we really think Microsoft is going to ignore the existing customer base and not put a disk drive in Scorpio? No, I don't think. I think what they'll do is they'll put a disk drive, just not a 4K disk drive. So I think it'll be similar, in fact, to the PS4 Pro, where it can do 4K gaming, 4K video streaming. It just won't play 4K discs. Now, it'll have a drive, in my opinion. I think, again, this is all speculation. I have no inside track to the development or the build sales, and hopefully, you know, we can get Phil or Aaron to slip when we're having a show.
Because they asked Albert about that, and it is going to be included.
Is it?
Yeah. He said okay. I just want to correct you that.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it, because I hadn't seen or heard that. So that okay. Well, that throws my entire discussion off completely.
I can't let you dream.
Guys, let me dream. Yes, let me dream.
I have a dream.
Let me dream. Dream.
But thank you. No, it actually makes sense, because in my head, I'm here thinking maybe they don't need to. You know, maybe they could just get away with just having a regular disk drive that can do the triple, quadruple layer disk that can hold 100 gigs of data, and that'll get them through . But if they are including a physical 4K drive in the Scorpio, that's pretty major.
Yeah, and man, I'm wondering, like, the thing is, the Microsoft can have this console too expensive, though. I know that Phil, according to Paris, Phil has been saying that this is going to be a premium.
It's not according to Paris, concept. Though. Phil said that. We heard it.
That's the thing. I haven't really heard it. I haven't seen that interview or anything like that. So if he did, okay, fine. Okay. Phil Spencer said this is going to be a premium price. But do you think they're going to have it way too expensive that in a way it will look bad press wise, like media is going to be kind of dissing it because it's too expensive, you know, and they really don't want this. They don't want that bad press. They want the wow, this console is cheap. It has so many features. I think the crowd is going to be happy about it, you know?
So I don't see a price variance on the Xbox One S by the time it launches, unless maybe they drop to, I don't see them dropping to 250, but I can't see, I may have to backpedal and maybe go to 450, closer to five.
With the price. No.
I may have to. Simply because of this, you're not going to put a $100 price difference. And who knows? Microsoft may just do that. But you have to consider they're going to sell the Xbox One S, right?
Yeah.
As their base model, which is going to be $300. Is it $100 more just to get the 4K and the more power and the more compute power and bigger, better GPU? And just add an extra $100 to it? Or do they maybe try to go $150, $200, just double the price of what your Xbox One S can do, and get the Xbox and get the Scorpio?
You do know that Xbox One S next year is going to be $250, right? It's going to happen.
They said
gonna,
that?
Definitely. No, it's just,
well, then
it's
don't say
happen.
It's going to happen.
No, it's going to happen based on, no, but I'm being real. It's going to happen based on the hype, just the buzz, because if you think about it, marketing-wise, if let's say they announce a new console, right? And let's make believe it's $400, $450, whatever. They could say, look, it's an option. You don't have to buy this premium console, but you could get also the Xbox One S for $249. Boom. And they have like different bundles, different deals.
So you're talking in speculation and
yeah,
and
it is speculation.
Ifs.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying.
But you said
I'm
it saying, was going to happen.
No, but because they're known to do that. Every year they do crazy deals during the holiday season. Look at the history. Ever since Xbox 360, they've been taking some crazy risks. And especially Xbox One, for the past few years, since the launch of the console, they've been having a lot of deals.
They've had to, because they've had to get rid of
the holiday season. I mean,
but they've had to because they had to get rid of all that excess inventory in all the stores.
Yeah.
And how do you get rid of that? You drop the price.
And now but at the same time, they create a buzz media. Oh, wow. Look at this console for this price. Buy it now.
Yeah, because it creates, you know, excess inventory because they didn't sell what they expected to. So yeah. I'm not gonna deny that it's a possibility. And if they do that, it strengthens the possibility of the $400 price point, not just to price match, but to be that Brutus to Caesar and Shiv Sony, just to say, look, you can get, for the same price, you can get a Scorpio and you can get nearly double the GPU power, more teraflops, because that's the big buzzword of the industry now.
Mm-hmm.
With 4K gaming and everything else. So I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, and I'm going to have to stick to my guns because I don't want to go back. But, and this goes back into the 4K discussion. There was an article that came out, I think it was a day or two ago, that highlights an interview that was done with Andrew House from Sony. And so he says, I thought it was quite intriguing given that we'd seen a year of stories about a new, different Microsoft in terms of their attitude towards the competition. He also says that was rather short-lived, wasn't it? So what he was essentially referring to was Albert Pinella's interview, where he talks about what the Xbox One S, including the 4K Blu-ray player, does provide versus what the PS4 Pro lacks. And if you want to check out that interview, I believe that one was on PlayStationLifestyle.net. You may want to check them out. It's kind of like Sony's thing now. Like they try to play the uppity person and try to continue to dig at Microsoft via jabs. And you know, to his credit, Phil's kept it civil. Phil's kept it, you know, he's kept it 100 and be like, we don't need to talk about them. We're going to focus on Microsoft. And kudos for them. There's no need to continue to play with the name calling and everything else. Just focus on your brand, focus on your product, and if you do it right, you know, they'll reap the benefits of that. And so another thing that Andrew House discussed was the 4K, the lack of the 4K in the PS4 Pro. And it looks like Paris may have been right in this one, where he says, where, you know, Paris was saying that they're doing that more to focus on video streaming and not the physical media. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense. So what, you know, Andrew House said was, no, I don't think one should read it that way. If you look at our current business, we should see very stable sales of packaged media when it comes to games. On the other hand, when I look at other ways people are using their PS4, video content is absolutely the number two use of the people's time on the console. But it is 5-1 in favor of streaming video versus packaged media. We looked at that and said that's probably where we should place our emphasis. But I don't think you should extrapolate out from that to say that's now going to change our philosophy around other areas of the business.
Hmm.
So
interesting.
Makes sense. I mean, and that's why I kind of had that initial thought of maybe Scorpio doesn't include the 4K drive, but with Pinello saying that, yeah, they are absolutely going to. Again, this goes back to what I was talking about in the voicemail from David, where they may just front load the console with as much possible and then sell it at a comparable price to the PS4 Pro to say, look, man, you can either get the PS4 Pro and spend $400, or you can spend that same $400 and get more with Microsoft. Wow. See, I just came up with your tagline. Get more with Microsoft. I want to see checks, Aaron. I know you listen to the show. I want checks.
Oh, by the way, I think he also talked about the whole 4K gaming for the PlayStation 4 Pro.
Yeah, he says, I would say the majority will be upscaled, at least based on the game portfolio I've seen to date. When he was asked if 4K gaming is a misleading term, his response was, no, I don't think so. I think that whatever the term is, it's a question of whether people see a demonstrable difference in the game experience or not, rather than the term we use to apply to it. I think that's what people are looking for, and they'll make their judgment as to whether that's working for them or not.
I don't know, but why call it Pro then? That's the thing. This is all marketing.
No, it's absolutely marketing speak, and... hearing that and then hearing that comment last week from the Sony exec saying that it potentially could be paying a you would pay a premium cost to get the 4K edition upscale version. I don't know. It just seems like Sony is kind of like, you know, like that SpongeBob caveman meme that's going around where they're confused and they're angry and they don't know what to say. So they're just trying to save face. That's how I see Sony now. Unfortunately, after the whole PS4 Pro, I don't want to say it's a launch debacle or whatever, but it almost seems like they're scrambling at this point to try to save face. I think people still are maybe a little bit confused at the difference of what HDR versus, you know, 4K is. 4K is a resolution, HDR is the amount of color that the TV can produce or the device can produce.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you're saying it's not what it's, I think that whatever the term is, it's a question of whether people see a demonstrable difference in the game experience or not. No, that's not what 4K gaming is. 4K gaming means you're shooting out 2196 pixels at the screen,
mm-hmm.
not the amount of color, not the game experience. And that goes back to what Mark Cerny said on the PlayStation Pro announcement. Or unveiling that technical showcase.
Yeah.
It's 4K is not an experience. 4K is the amount of color or the amount of, sorry, and I almost just slipped there. It's the amount of pixels that you can put on the screen. So upscale, while yes, some people could argue it doesn't matter how it gets to your screen as long as it gets to your screen. But I don't know. It just seems like they're scrambling right now and trying to save face. And I just don't think that they're coming with a unified front when they're doing some of this stuff. So,
well, we'll see. Well, once the console releases during the holidays, to see how the feedback is going to be from the gamers.
Yeah, and I'm still unsure whether I'm going to do that, whether I'm going to jump and go. If I'm going to go with a Scorpio, I don't know if it makes sense for me to do so simply because I have a GPU on my PC that can do 4K gaming.
Yeah. By the way, Pete, the Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered is coming out very soon along with Infinite Warfare and stuff. But
right.
One of the discussions that we were having during the Call of Duty XP in LA, we were talking about if they're going to have this game also sold separately in the future. And I think the developers, Raven, I think the director of that company slipped. Yeah.
According to the gaffe, it seems like a director of Raven Studios may have slipped up with an actual recent quote. What they said, what the actual quote was, what we announced before today was that we're going to offer 10 maps on launch, and that's still true.
Yeah.
The announcement today is that the 6 remaining maps we're actually going to be delivering to anyone who purchases Modern Warfare Remastered. Anyone who owns it or a version of Infinite Warfare that comes with it, they're going to get all 16 of the maps for no additional cost. So this kind of contradicts part of the Modern Warfare Remastered official statement, which was, how can I get the Modern Warfare Remastered? Well, it's only available through Legacy, Legacy Pro, and Digital Deluxe editions of Infinite Warfare. Can you play the Modern Warfare Remastered without buying? No, you must own Infinite Warfare in order to get Modern Warfare Remastered. So this kind of contradicts it, and what this likely means is that they're probably going to do some time of timed exclusivity of 6 months, which means that they'll eventually be able to buy it separately, considering that it's a $80 bundle, I believe, to purchase Infinite Warfare. I'm thinking maybe $20 to $30 for this remastered, maybe even $40.
I think I'll go with $40 just because of the name. And I want to get some extra income.
You think it's going to be $40?
Yeah, I think it's going to be $40.
Ouch.
$20? I don't see that.
Ouch.
Now, the thing is, if you do buy the Legacy or digital deluxe editions of Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, then yeah, it will be a lot cheaper. But, you know, it's Activision. Of course, they're going to charge a little bit more if it's just a separate game. It makes sense. That's extra income for them, you know? So, huh. Plus, let me tell you, it plays pretty good, man. We played during Call of Duty XP.
Right.
We were playing that game more than anything else. Maybe just because of the whole reminding us of 2007, you know? So, but it's dope. It's a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun. And the sound is so good too, man. Do you see yourself getting this, Pete?
I don't know. I really do not know. For once, and this is, you know, I don't know. I think
you should, man, because you're a fan of that. That game was actually a lot of fun when it came out, man. And it's still fun, you know. So
actually, correction on the price: it's $100. So you figure 60 for the normal game, it's going to be $4. Yeah, you're right. It's going to be $39.99 or something. Whatever the price is going to be for.
Wait, correction of the game. Isn't it $80, $79.99? There's two different versions.
I'm looking at the PS4 version right now, and it's $100. If you go for the Xbox One version, it's $100. If you go for the PC version, it's $100. I'm looking on CallOfDuty.com right now.
Which
That's
one?
For the Digital
which version?
Deluxe. Standard Edition, which does not include it, comes out to $60. The Legacy Edition on all four comes out to $80. So,
oh, that's the one I was saying. That's the cheapest.
So, what's
one,
the difference between Digital Deluxe?
I think isn't Season Pass included?
Yes, it does. Yeah, remastered Season Pass.
Yeah, there you go.
And or you can obviously, if you're balling and you want to get the Legacy Pro, you can throw out $120, and I think you get the Season Pass for an additional bonus content. So your wallet worrying that one.
By the way, speaking about Activision, Pete. Destiny is coming out, the new expansion pack coming out, I believe, this week.
Yep.
I know you and Paris are super excited about this.
Yeah, I finally made my decision too. I purchased it on the PlayStation 4.
Wow.
It happened.
I'm impressed.
It happened.
Very impressed, man. So the PlayStation 4 version of Destiny Collection, the compilation of everything, is going to be, I think, you need at least 18.67 gigabytes of free space.
Yep, that's correct.
You have space?
Oh,
you have that many games, though, right?
I don't have that many games, though. Honestly, it's Destiny, Uncharted 4, Battlefront. So I've got plenty of space to go.
Mine.
I have a couple of some of the PlayStation Plus games and stuff, but I really haven't really dropped any coin for that matter. But I'm hoping. Since now that they've dropped the legacy support, that a lot of this clears up some of that resolution issues. And I know recently they've been having a lot of that film grain problem. So hopefully when they update on Tuesday, that film grain issue will disappear. And finally we'll be able to get the true Destiny experience that we're looking for. I'm actually looking forward to the level 40 character boost. So I can get up a warlock now that I'll have all three characters that I can play around with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be an interesting couple of next few weeks, and I'll get a 2-day jump on Paris because he won't be able to play. He'll be out of town. So I'm excited. I'm all in. I'm a guardian lost, and I'm back. It pulled me in. Damn you, Deej.
Yeah, man. So yeah, man. Yeah, you guys definitely gotta let us know. I was like, I know you guys are going to be talking about this for like.
Question is,
yeah,
are you going to get Destiny, and are you going to play, and are you going to play on PlayStation, or are you going to play on Xbox? I know, I was talking with Sharif from the Spawn on Me podcast the other day, and we came up with a concept of maybe having a Gamertag Radio and Spawn on Me raid team. And, you know, obviously we've got Cicero and Khalif and Sharif over at Spawn on Me, but then it's me and Paris, and like Danny's like floating in the wind, and like,
here's the thing, man. Like, I kind of like moved on from Destiny. I mean, we'll see. I'll think about it. The thing is, I want to try out all these games that's coming out now during the holiday season, you know, Gears, Forza, I already tried ReCore and stuff, and I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how everything goes. Plus, I want to play Zombies Call of Duty, man, which is a lot of fun too. So, let me think about it. Let's see how the vibe goes. You know, so
fine.
Yeah. You guys can't get depressed that I'm not playing fine. Destiny.
Fine.
It's all good. By the way, we have an audio here that I'm gonna play. I recorded this during the Call of Duty XP event, and it's with Q from GameCrate.com. So we'll be right back after this.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so joining me, we have here Q of the writer of GameCrate.com. What's up?
What's up, man?
So how's everything how's everything with you, man? I know you've been busy with the site and everything, man. And any big things coming up or what?
You know, GameCrate, if you guys don't know, is owned by Newegg.com. So we cover a lot of the hardware aspects of gaming and stuff. So I know you guys have been talking about 1080s quite a bit. So, you know, we sell a lot of 1080s. And right. And one of the big things that are coming are these VR-ready laptops from MSI, and that we're reviewing those.
Okay.
And they actually have like the full 1080 cards in those laptops.
Ooh, nice.
And
okay.
If you check out like the Newegg YouTube channel or you go to GameCrate.com, you can read about, you know, these awesome gaming laptops with the 1080s in them. I don't know if that's something that your listeners would be interested in, but you've been talking about 1080s quite a bit lately, so I thought,
well,
I thought
it was pretty
cool.
And Paris are like the ambassadors of the 1080 right now. They're always talking about it all the time. But Q, I know there was a couple of things we were talking about during our ride. We were going to Call of Duty XP. I know you mentioned a couple of things that you've been listening to the show.
Yeah, I had one thing. You guys had a letter from a listener that asked what was a game that you got rid of.
Oh, the regret? Okay.
The regret?
Yeah.
And I remember once at Paris, actually, he sold his Xbox 360, but then didn't you buy it again to play another game? I don't know if it was Red Dead Redemption or Grand Theft Auto.
Wow, you have a great memory because I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? Because I remember.
I don't remember this either. PlayStation, I did.
Xbox 360 too, and it was for one game. You're like, I actually went to GameStop and went and got my Xbox 360 and played the game. And I forgot what game.
Are you sure? I've always had an Xbox until just recently.
When you got your Xbox One, you got rid of your Xbox 360,
right?
And then you went back and got the Xbox 360 again game.
I don't remember this.
I have to look it up. I have to go through the old episodes.
Yeah, you got to tell me this one. I don't remember this one.
And the other thing, I was like, why are you so drastic when you get rid of consoles? Like, you can't just hold on to them for a while. You just have to get them out the house. Like,
I don't like
this. Danny has, like, every console ever made, and he keeps them in, like, a shed. How can you just don't hold on to them for later?
It's very simple, and I've said this on the podcast many times. I am a cheapskate, okay? So I'm like, if I'm done with this, then I'm getting the most value off for it that I can so that you're out, you're gone, and I get rid of it. That's why I do it. I'm a cheapskate. That's why I don't keep old games, physical copies. I trade them in. I get rid of them.
That's
like,
understandable.
For example, when Neo comes out, my PlayStation 4, gone.
Well, that's because it's basically the same console. But like when you get rid of your Xbox One or your Xbox 360, I mean, you had games on the Xbox 360. Yeah, you couldn't play anywhere else but the Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. So why would you get rid of the Xbox 360?
I'm done playing those games. They obviously didn't hold me enough that I felt that I needed to keep an Xbox 360 to play those games. And again, like I've said on the show, the reason I got rid of my Xbox One was because I went to the spring showcase. I heard Phil Spencer lay out the vision for Xbox, and I was like, I see what they're doing. They're about to open up Windows 10. I prefer to play on a PC anyways. So it made sense in an E3 confirmation. So I was smart to do what I did at the time. I have no regrets doing that.
That makes sense now.
But that was very controversial when he made that move. A lot of people were pissed at Paris for making that move, man.
But I swear you went back and got an Xbox 360 after you got rid of it to play one game. I think it was Red Dead Redemption.
Honestly, look, I've been recording with Paris for a very long time. I don't remember that at all. But
I know it wasn't Red Dead Redemption because I've never finished Red Dead Redemption. Mm-mm. I probably played maybe an hour or two of it.
Maybe it was Grand Theft Auto 5 before it came to Xbox One. I don't remember. It was something. I'm going to go back to that. I'm going to go through the episodes and I'm going to look it up.
Couldn't have been Grand Theft Auto 5 because I got it on the PlayStation 3 originally. Then I got it on PlayStation 4. And I'm pretty sure at some point I'm going to get weak and get it on the PC. So I would have had it 10 times. Because I have GTA 5 on the PlayStation 4. I have it right now.
Okay. So that was just when I was listening to that regrets letter, I thought I had to go look up that episode and I'm going to try to prove Paris wrong here.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Is there any other, because you listen to the show all the time, so I want to know what other things that you have a great memory, because, dude, I don't remember that at all, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's probably a couple of years ago, like when the Xbox One came out. It was probably around that time when you first bought the Xbox One.
Dude, so, I don't remember that. Okay.
And you just went and got rid of everything. Like, wait, there's Xbox 360 is still relevant. When the Xbox One came out, the Xbox 360
that
is still
relevant. He did got
rid, you got rid of it.
You got rid
right
of it
away.
Early. You did. You did.
And they're still putting out games that were only on Xbox 360.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was like, wow.
Just go back to the archives.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go look. And then you can cool. play the audio on the now, show like you did with the Mandy and Paris debate. All right,
so here's another one. I know you were mentioning about the holiday stuff. About Black Friday, if a game comes out after Black Friday, it's done. That's what Paris, I think.
Yeah, because Paris said, because Final Fantasy 15 was it? They moved it past Black Friday, and on the show, Paris said,
"Yeah,
it was a dumb move because Black Friday, you're done. If it's not available on Black Friday, you're done.
Technically, you're not done, but you miss a huge opportunity to sell that game on that day because a lot of like,
but it's,
you know,
like a few days after Black Friday. What is it? November 29th, right?
Yeah, when's Black Friday? 29th. My whole reasoning behind that was, and we talked about this on Twitter, is with a game like that, you want to maximize the amount of people that would go out and just blind buy it day one, right? So when you take out a big holiday shopping season like Black Friday, you're taking away sales from it. And we talked about this on another episode that's either out before this or after or whatever. But what I was saying was, instead of putting it out, and I understand you're still going to get sales during the holiday leading into Christmas, fine. But if you then put it after Christmas and put it unopposed in a January or a February, it's going to have all the spotlights going to be on that game. People are only talking about that. It'll be the huge game for 2017, the first huge game for 2017, and I feel like you'll sell more. And I go back to, I look at Rainbow Six, what Ubisoft did, you know, last year, you know, didn't sell that well in December, but because it's such a great game and obviously the community's been talking about it and has such a following now on the multiplayer side, sales have actually picked up 6 months later versus what they were initially at launch. That's all. That's my point. I just feel like, why miss the Black Friday, that October, November selling season of the holiday when, all right, we got to delay it. You put it after that, you might as well just wait. I feel like just wait till after Christmas at that point. But that's just me. I don't know nothing. What do I know?
I'm not worried about Square Enix putting it on that day because the holiday season, shopping season starts on Black Friday. It doesn't end on Black Friday. It starts. So not very many people I actually know personally actually go shopping on Black Friday. They shop like 2 weeks before Christmas, 3 weeks before Christmas. And that's when they're looking and see what's available, what they get for little Johnny, since Paris cares about little Johnny so much.
Go for it. I have something
on
else.
Christmas Day.
Little Johnny.
If they don't get the Final Fantasy game, they get Best Buy gift cards. They get GameStop gift cards. Yes. They get Amazon gift cards. And if the game is available, you know, around the Christmas time too, they can get it then too. So I don't see that much harm. I mean, you're right. It would have been better if they released it at the original date or in the spring. But I still don't think it's going to hurt it that much.
Little Johnny, if you're listening, please hit us up. Contact us. We definitely want to get a shout out from you.
Again, that's the thing. You're 100% valid with that. And that is a good theory. It's just, you know, I like to talk. I don't like this, that someone that listens is questioning me. Don't question me. I usually get it on email and I go, I'm not going to answer that one. I have no choice but to answer now. No, I'm kidding. But no, you're right. You're right. I mean, like I said, it's not that it's not going to still have sales. And you're right. People are going to get gift cards and things like that. And they can pick it up after Christmas. I guess I just try to think the bigger scope of it as far as the marketing and everything goes. Your marketing, when you get into Christmas and you're trying to market stuff, I don't think it's as effective as if you do it before Thanksgiving. But again, what do I know? I don't know nothing. Yeah. I'm not Michael Pachter. I don't know nothing.
Speaking of Final Fantasy, are you guys excited for this game at all? Or are you kind of like just tired of the hype and everything? This has been like a couple of years they've been hyping it up. And I'm like, I just put it out already.
At first I was hype. Now it's more of a wait and see situation. They've been showing some gameplay that I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm a little worried about it. I used to be a huge fan of Final Fantasy back in the days. Then I stopped playing for a couple of years. And this one got my attention, but I would like to see better footage, better gameplay videos and stuff. Because the thing is, the stuff that they showed, I believe, was at the Xbox press conference during E3. Huge question mark on that. I didn't really enjoy it at all. Like,
I feel like it's just been the same thing over and over again.
No, this style is different than the previous ones, though.
Yeah,
it's like
definitely
a totally
different.
Totally different style.
I've pretty much been tapped out on Final Fantasy since probably 10. Probably 10. It's not been a franchise that has engaged me personally. I mean, 7 obviously was amazing, all that. 8, I felt like was kind of a letdown. And, you know, obviously, then 10 was okay.
9 was really good.
What was that?
9 was really good.
See, you've seen this live. You see how live, how he interrupts people?
You
see
were
that?
Looking at me, so I'm like, 9.
I was not looking at you. I was looking at him.
It's so good.
No, but what was the game in 10? There was that mini game.
It was like a 10.
You go.
Which one?
In 10. Blitz.
Well, Blitz. Okay.
Blitz ball. Yeah. That was my lasting memory from 10. But then, you know, obviously 11 was the MMO RPG that some say was successful, some say wasn't. But then once we got into 13 and all that, so it's like I'm not anticipating it. If it turns out to be this fantastic RPG game that everyone's talking about, buzzing about, then I'll go check it out. But it's not something that I would jump into day one.
Question, man. You know, this year is, so far, the year of shooters. Great shooters this year. Is there any shooters out there that I think got your attention that you're definitely going to play it? That's coming out this holiday or what?
I'm really with Pete in Paris. I'm Destiny all day, every day.
He's wearing a shirt.
I'm wearing a Destiny shirt right now.
He's wearing a shirt. He's an ambassador. Bungie, please contact Q. And
the thing with Destiny, even though year one kind of had, you know, issues in storytelling and progression and that kind of thing, the gameplay mechanics of the game were just so good that anybody can pick up and play and have fun with it. And that's why it like stuck with people for so long, you know. And then adding the interesting story and the better progression system just made it even better. But the gameplay mechanic, which is I think is the foundation, the base of the game, is what Bungie did so well that made it a great game that I just got addicted to. You know?
Yeah, agreed. And it's like, you know, Pete and I have talked about on the show many times. The one thing that Bungie's done, not so much in year one because the RNG was kind of ridiculous, but you're always chasing something.
Yeah.
There's always that carrot they're dangling that you're trying to get to. You know what I mean? There's always that gun, that piece of gear, you know, some raid mode challenge or something that you're chasing in that game that keeps you coming back. And then, like you said, at its core, the shooting mechanics on it are fantastic. You know, it's some of the best in the industry.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So that's why I keep playing, not to mention the community that's been built around it. I've been pretty engaged with that community now, and it's one of the better gaming communities out there. It really is. I mean, obviously, we just saw Destiny Con happen, which was a huge success, and they're going to do it bigger and better next year, and just keeps growing. I mean, you know, I hate that I talk about Destiny so much on the podcast because I feel like people are rolling their eyes and get annoyed that we talk about it so much. But
yeah,
I swear to God, everything we talk about, somehow, some way, it always rolls back to it. And Pete is actually a worse offender than I am. You notice I'll try to not say stuff about it, and then it was like, well, you know, I was playing Destiny last night. And, you know.
But the other shooter, of course, is Titanfall 2. I'm interested to see what they do with the single-player campaign.
That's a mystery, huge mystery on that.
I got to go up to Chatsworth at the Respawn Studios and see the presentation there.
Wow, he's just throwing it out there to Paris.
And
it's all good. Go.
And what they showed us so far, I didn't get hands-on or anything. They didn't do a live demo. It was just kind of video clips of what to expect from it. And I wrote up a piece on what they showed on GameCrate.com, if you guys can go look it up. But it looked pretty good, and it was funny. There's going to be a little humor between the human and the Titan relationship and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just not a run and gun game. There's going to be like puzzles. There's going to be stealth run and gun in moments.
So it's kind of like it looks pretty cool. Is it like ReCore?
Wow, he was literally in the middle of saying something, and you just jumped in, and it was going to be like ReCore.
I'm sorry, but I'm saying it doesn't. Isn't it kind of like
ReCore? ReCore is like what a third person kind of. I don't know. I don't see it similar.
No, not like that. But I mean, the relationship with like the player and like let's say for this one, like the Titan and stuff. You know, like that relationship, like always together, doing puzzles together, stuff like that.
I guess. A relationship between a robot and a human, but I haven't seen so much of recorded kind of compared similarly, but it's just funny because the robot is real deadpan kind of type of humor in it, and it had us cracking up at the presentation. So I'm looking forward to what they do with Titanfall 2, that single player campaign.
Let me ask you a question because they've been announcing different Titans for the multiplayer. Mm-hmm. Is that a thing for campaign, or are you just going to have one particular type of Titan throughout the whole campaign, or what? Have they talked about that too, or no?
Yeah, the campaign looks like it's just one Titan. So you take over this Titan that had a previous owner who died. There's no spoilers, because it happens right at the beginning. And then you just build this relationship with this one Titan, and you go and do different missions. So it's just one Titan.
Okay.
But you fight other Titans, and you fight enemies on the ground as a human, and you fight other Titans too and stuff. So
okay.
Looks pretty cool. But I think the six Titans, the multiple Titans, are just for multiplayer.
And I mean, what are your thoughts of, games like Call of Duty and Battlefield that's also coming out in October?
I got to play a little bit of the Battlefield tech demo. Was it tech test?
No, Battlefield was beta. Titanfall 2 was a
Titanfall is a tech test.
Yeah.
Battlefield is a beta. It was cool. I mean, I enjoyed the single player those more than the multiplayer because I'm pretty terrible at the multiplayer. So it's not fun for me getting shot all the time. There's really good Call of Duty players that's all they play.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I'm okay with it.
You're okay?
I don't play it for like the full year like a lot of guys do.
I mean, I love the zombies. That's something that I would really want to try out first when the game comes out. Because I had a blast with that, so.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anything else, Paris? We should wrap it up? We're good. All right. That's it. Anything you would like to promote one more time?
Yeah, just visit GameCrate.com. You can find me on Twitter at Q_Salazar, S-A-L-A-Z-A-R. And leave comments. Hit me up on Twitter and... Let's game.
Cool.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Pete, so we're going to wrap it up. Shout to Q. That was a great conversation. Him and Paris having a little debate about holiday season, games during the holiday season stuff. That was a lot of fun. Anything else you want to talk about, Pete, before we wrap it up?
Actually, I just came back last night from a concert. Got to see Danai Suarez live up here in Jupiter, Florida. It's a phenomenal show. You guys are looking for somebody different who I said this to Danny. I said this to my wife. She's like a combination of Lauryn Hill meets Janelle Monáe meets Sade. If you're looking for just something different, something smooth and chill. You guys, check out her album. You can find it on iTunes and everywhere else. Danai Suarez.
Yeah, she's dope, man. I seen her live here in Miami a few times, man. She's a lot of fun to see like live. It's crazy. Great performance.
Yep.
Shout out to DJ EFN and the whole crew. They invited me to check out the screening of Coming Home Vietnam. So far, this has been my favorite one when it comes to like the editing style and the location, the shots. Super, super impressive, man. Make sure to check it out once it comes out on Revolt TV and a different places too. Like they probably will have it on like iTunes and other areas where you could go and rent it and stuff. But Coming Home series, man, it's dope, man, to see it live, man, with everybody else, So I know you've seen, Pete, Cuba, Haiti, and Peru.
Yep.
Those are really, really good, but this one is excellent, man. You should definitely watch this once it comes out for Real TV stuff. So, and yeah, shout out to him. And everybody else, remember to email us for to celebrate our 600th episode that's coming out this Thursday.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Anyways, we're going to be out. Remember, head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag and share with your friends. You could also find us on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and all the podcast directories. And yeah, you can give us a call and email us, and we'll definitely play on the show. And until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.